On today's show, we are celebrating an unsung invention, like we do. I'm here with comedian and Last Week Tonight writer Josh Gondelman.
Hello.
I also have a big glass of ice water with me, which is a mistake.
It's jingling.
Also, I brought a lot of Doritos. It's kind of my podcasting food.
Josh, you tweeted your invention nomination. Would you read it?
Yeah. No Silicon Valley innovator can hold a candle to the person who invented those yellow ties that make trash bags easier to cinch shut.
Josh, we're here because you want to celebrate a trash bag. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's also what I say at the beginning of my birthday party every year.
So you're calling out specifically the cinch sack garbage bag. And you tweeted that at 9:55 a.m.
Yeah, I was up early thinking about trash bags.
What inspired it?
We had, my wife and I had a several month, I would say, saga nightmare where one of us had accidentally purchased the trash bags without the yellow thing, just the kind that you get the loose plastic lips that you kind of tie shut.
The loose lips.
Yeah. Loose lips sink bags.
Paint me a picture of life without the cinch.
First of all, the bags are easier to slump down inside the receptacle. They slouch. You have to kind of pull them out like you would adjust like tucking in a shirt into ill-fitting pants almost. I have not learned to dress my body. So a lot of my metaphors will just be like, I don't know, it's like when your socks don't fit.
Josh, this is a perfect nomination for our bulletin board of glory. It's a little thing that makes life better on a daily basis.
Daily basis, for sure.
What do you want to know?
What do I want to know? Gosh, I want to know how it came about, and like, I'd like to know who was involved in its creation. This is a game changer. Like, the person who invented this should be like, should have been able to retire.
Josh, we're gonna get you some answers. And just a note to listeners: this cinch sack roller coaster includes violence and bad language. Enjoy. Okay. Josh, I want to introduce you to the cinch sack's trashy family, because when you talk about this garbage bag in the context of its family tree, like, it is really clear what a giant leap forward the cinch sack was.
For sure.
So we talked to a garbage genealogist.
My name is Carl Zimmerman.
He edited an encyclopedia of waste.
Yes. 1,200 pages all about garbage.
So it's a coffee table book.
It's a book about the size of a coffee table.
And Carl suggested that we start our garbage journey in the 1800s in Brooklyn.
Yeah, here we go.
I want you to put yourself there. What's 1800s Josh like?
Oh, boy. Got one of those sassy newsboy caps. I'm feeling triumphant just because I'm not dead from influenza.
Look at me. I'm the king of New York.
I'm also imagining you riding one of those bicycles with the giant front
wheel.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Telling people the news out loud.
I can't wait to add trash to this equation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, I'm littering.
You sure are, Josh.
Yeah.
That was perfectly normal behavior.
Litter bug? More like litter shrug.
For the most part, we could live our lives as urban residents by throwing our wastes into the street.
At that time, there's no system for picking up garbage. So the street is your trash can. And what do you think people were throwing away at that time?
I imagine just like a lot of bones and then like twine that you would use to hold the bones together.
You're actually pretty close.
Bones, fat, gristle, anything that we no longer have use for.
The top of an onion.
Perhaps the top of the onion, although we might be using the top of the onion in our stew.
That sounds, even in the Depression, it feels like people would be like, I'm throwing away that fringy part of the onion. We're going to make a hat for a baby.
So there's a lot of table scraps being thrown onto the streets, but there's more in that poopery.
So, like, human waste?
Bingo.
Our fecal matter. If we could somehow travel back in time to this exact place in 1820, the smells would be nauseating.
The streets aren't just nauseating in the early 1800s. It's deadly out there.
Every once in a while, there'll be an epidemic disease where 2,000 to 5,000 people will die in the matter of a week or two because of some germs we associated with those horrible, horrible smells.
People are getting sick because there's no sanitation department to deal with the waste. But some creatures did pitch in.
Ferrets.
Keep spitballing.
Snakes.
Pigs.
pigs.
If I'm a pig farmer, I can send my pigs roaming through the streets of Brooklyn and they can eat whatever edible material the people of the neighborhood have thrown in the street.
Hey, my hat's off to you, pigs.
I don't know if you really want to hats off them because they also ate babies.
What? So, like, did you pay them in babies for taking away the garbage? Was that what was happening? They're like, well, we ate the tops of your onions and your poop, so, like, baby up, please.
No. At the time, pigs were in the streets and kids were in the streets because there were no parks.
And if you are a 2-year-old, the pig could conceivably see you as food.
We've been talking about how bad sanitation was. How bad was child care? That you're just leaving babies where a pig can get to them. Put it on a shelf.
So this is making the cinch sack look pretty good, right?
So good.
So let's jump ahead to the 20th century.
It is the end of pigs eating babies.
And it's the beginning of garbage trucks.
Yes. Increasingly, it becomes seen as the duty of a city to make the environment safe for its residents.
Finally, there is a system for taking garbage away. Huge improvement.
The pigs were furious.
But there are still problems. It's dangerous for the sanitary workers, and it's slime forward for everybody else.
If you have your turkey carcass in there, and you have maybe some old clothes and some tissue papers, it's all just mixed together and seeping liquid into the bottom of the can.
It's just like a big mess. People have to steam clean their garbage cans because it's so stinky.
Oh, wow.
But then in the 1940s, everything changes when a certain petrochemical product comes on the scene.
The plastic garbage bag enters the picture as plastics enter the picture. A big part of this is World War II.
When vital sources of crude rubber were cut off because of the war, science and industry combined and solved the problem.
So what happens very quickly after the United States gets in the war is the United States starts to develop what they call a Manhattan Project for rubber.
From this, polyethylene is born, and it finds a new home in our homes.
Around 1950, a Canadian inventor realized, oh, a polyethylene bag, I can start using this as a liner for a garbage can.
He calls this new product the Garbag.
I feel like almost.
So the chemical company Union Carbide buys the idea and starts mass producing the bag as the Glad bag. And it takes off 30 years later. By the 1980s, we have plastic garbage bags in cans across the world.
Yeah.
For better and worse.
What's good is those bags have made our homes and our streets far less of a place for infectious disease to spread.
Of course, there's also an ocean full of minuses.
The problem with the bag is it helps us be complicit in doing things to the environment while not thinking that we're doing it anymore. That said, it has made life a lot more convenient for us.
But in this trashy history, we're not even at the apex of convenience yet. We're still just at loose lip stage. It took one visionary who looked at that steaming hot trash in an unsealable bag and thought to himself, we can do better.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Tallman.
I was way closer than I thought.
Steve Tallman is a former Hefty engineer, and his daughter, who we found through a Twitter tip, had the whole story. She wrote us this email, subject line, "My dad invented the Hefty cinch sack." And the story's amazing. Apparently, Steve went to West Point, and he and a roommate, an army buddy, were cleaning and thought to themselves, I wish garbage bags were like army duffels with a cinch.
I love it. This kind of like tidy apocryphal story. Just like someone looking at a duffel bag and being like, if only there were one of these for garbage.
So are you ready to meet the man who changed your life?
Steve Tallman. Absolutely.
This is Steve Tallman.
Hi, Steve. This is Flora from Every Little Thing.
Hi, Flora. I've been expecting you to call.
The way he said it, the certainty of it, it sounded like he'd been expecting you, like, for millennia.
For his whole life.
Yeah. Like, I've been waiting for this moment. And now it's time for me, Steve, to tell my story.
Steve, we're calling to congratulate you on your invention of the cinch sack garbage bag.
It's not me.
That is a twist.
I was involved in the process of developing it, and I think I made important contributions to that happening, but I was not the person who came up with the idea.
Steve, your daughter had an extremely detailed account of how you were involved.
Well, she's more colorful than I am, shall we say.
Steve's story is that his daughter took some liberties.
Yeah, just trying to seem cool in a dorm. Like, my dad invented the cinching trash bag.
So Steve was not the inventor, but he was someone on the inside of Big Trash Bag, and he gave us some clues to help us on our search.
So the idea that you could put some kind of a drawstring at the top of a bag was around, like a department store bag for clothes or something like that.
So the cinch was out there, but Steve said the person we're looking for brought the cinch to the trash bag, which was an idea that people had talked about in the trash world, but no one had been able to pull off.
I didn't know if it could be done.
The science just wasn't there.
No, it was really. Steve said the company didn't even think it could be done.
No.
This is like the funniest thing I've ever heard people think was impossible. Bags with strings. Well, get your head out of the clouds. We're scientists, not magicians.
You laugh, but mass producing a trash bag with a cinch is a technical nightmare.
It's sort of almost an art form.
It took Steve 25 minutes to explain the production process for a regular trash bag.
It looks like a long cannon barrel with a screw in the middle of it. A balloon like somebody would use to make balloon animals.
And to add a cinch to the trash bag, you have to put in a bunch of new steps to this production line. You have to add a hem, cut tape, string that tape through the hem. And then here's the kicker, Josh. To make them cheap enough, the production line had to spit out 100 bags a minute.
Okay, that does seem harder. Just thinking about, like, when a drawstring comes out of my sweatshirt, how long that takes me to rethread.
3 days.
Yeah, certainly not 100 sweatshirts per minute.
So the trash world had come to the consensus that this was a fantasy. Except for one guy.
I mean, the guy that, I remember his name was Dana. He thought it could be done.
So who is Dana?
Hello, this is Dana Boyd, and if you want to talk about the draw tape, a large trash bag, even though that was in the early 80s, I'll be glad to talk to you about it.
He's the engineer we have to thank. And after the break, we'll hear about the spicy battle to get that bag into your hands.
And literally, most of people thought it was a dumb idea.
Oh, I can't wait. And I'm going to continue eating Doritos.
After the break, Josh eats Doritos.
Not just some Doritos. Like one of those bags that's like, you know, like a party size bag.
Josh, are you ready for the third act of the cinch sack drama?
Please.
In the early 80s, there were two premium trash bag brands.
This is engineer Dana Boyd.
There was Glad. And that was Union Carbide Corporation, and there was Hefty, which was Mobil Corporation.
Dana worked at Hefty, which was kind of the underdog of the two.
Glad always had a bigger share of the market than Hefty.
And Glad wanted to make that lead even bigger. So in 1982, Glad starts working on a new trash bag technology. They want to put out a bag with handles on the flaps.
Not bad.
It's an improvement.
It's better than the old one.
So Hefty gets wind of this, and Dana's bosses come to Dana and say, we need to make our own version of this.
Absolutely. They said, we want to do what they're doing.
And Dana said, why are we chasing Glad? What if we came out with something totally different?
For real? This guy fucking rules.
He was like, you know, we've talked about this like a white whale. What if now's the moment?
Like when Rocky decided he was going to be a boxer.
It's just like that, except that in this case, the Eye of the Tiger is mass producing a cinching trash bag.
What was Dana's conviction that it was possible?
Basically, he did his homework. He went to other factories making small drawstring bags, and then he looked at Hefty's production line, and he thought, yeah, there's a lot of problems to solve here, but I think we can do it. And his bosses said, okay, you have 18 months to pull it off.
Their driving force was, we don't want anybody to get wind of this and do it too. we want to beat everybody to the marketplace, catch them all flat-footed, and everybody's going to refer to a draw tape trash bag as cinch sack.
This is like the space race.
Yes.
This is one of the biggest, most complicated projects anybody around here has ever done, and you want it done in 18 months.
This is like giving me chills.
The cinch sack was the moonshot of trash bags, although not everyone saw it that way.
90% of the people in the company made fun of the product while we were still developing it. Matter of fact, its nickname was Rope-A-Dope. Muhammad Ali had that thing about Rope-A-Dope. Well, so some of the people, old-timers that worked in other areas, said, well, it's Rope-A-Dope.
As in a rope for dopes. That's pretty good. I would put that above garbag in terms of we're talking about wordplay in the trash bag industry.
Dana, why did people think it was a joke?
Little minds.
But I don't even get it.
Well, you've seen the result. You've seen the results. That's the thing about people like me in development. We have to see the results when there are none.
Looks easy.
Yeah, it's a cinch.
Now from Hefty, the first trash and tall kitchen bags with a drawstring. New Hefty cinch sack closes at the top, so you can fill it to the top.
Were they able to do it in the 18-month window, or did it spill beyond?
Yes, they were able to. At first, there were some kinks in the production line, so people were not like, Dana, you did it.
You did it, yeah. You magnificent bastard.
They were just like, you bastard.
But eventually, after the dust settled, did Dana get credit?
Not officially. It's not about the glory as far as the corporation is concerned. I didn't get a penny for the draw tape trash bags. You know, basically you sign on, you sign everything away, and when it happens, and the company says, thank you very much, what's next?
Dana Boyd, I'm happy to shout your name from the rooftops.
He did an exceptional thing.
He's a person who did an exceptional thing, and the thing that I keep coming back to is nobody thought this was possible. And I think that's like really what's like reverberating within me at this moment, that like knowing something can be better and knowing that you can help implement that is like so much more important than people who laugh at you because they don't want to try or don't believe it's possible.
What's your cinch sack in your life?
I don't know if I have a cinch sack in me. Like, I don't know if everybody's a Dana Boyd, but I'd like to think that like when my cinch sack moment arises, I will rise to the occasion and I will not cave to the doubters and I will persevere even in the face of their derisive laughter.
Speaking of innovation, we're working on a show about hit flavors, and we need your help. What is your cinch sack of ice cream flavors? Like the flavor that others laugh at, but you know is a winner. Forget the salty caramel.
Ham.
I challenge you to think outside the box.
Mashed potatoes.
Producer Phoebe Flanagan is here with a few ideas just to get the juices flowing.
Cucumber I like. Cheerios ice cream for breakfast. Ice cream stew, boiling hot. Ooh, dirt, tomato leaves, lasagna. I think I'm hungry.
Call us with your novel ice cream flavor, 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT. We will have professional flavorists evaluate the entries.
And I'm going to continue eating Doritos.
Let's get those Doritos out.
Every Little Thing is produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Aaron Reese, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Ian Chillog and Caitlin Kenny are our consulting editors. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, and Dan Brunel. Mixing by Dara Hirsch. I like ice cream. I love Doritos. Goodbye.